There are many interesting parts of the purification process of a person who has tsaras. Reb Nebenzel points out a very interesting parallel. In the process, the Kohen has to take the lamb, together with the oil, and he has to wave them before bringing the carbon, meaning before he slaughters the lamb, he's waving it around. After he slaughters it, he has to take from the blood of the carbon and put it onto the earlobe, the right thumb, and the right toe thumb of the person who had tsaras. There is only one other place that we find the waving of a live animal before bringing it as a carbon, and that's when we bring the carbon tzibur of Shavuos. There are many times when pieces of meat are waved. For example, with every carbon shlamim, the chest and the thigh of the animal are waved, but that's after it's slaughtered. The only other time that it's a live animal is with Shavuos. What is the connection? Lifting and waving of the animal hints to the raising up of a person. On Shavuos, we are also raised up. We have worked for 49 days, and now on the 50th day, we have been raised from animal status to people status. We symbolize this also by the fact that on Pesach, we bring an omer, a carbon omer, which is brought out of barley, which is animal food, or at least it used to be considered animal food, and we've worked through the whole sphere of omer, and now on Shavuos, we're finally able to bring shtei halechem, which is made out of wheat. Wheat is people food. So too, when a person is doing tshuva from tzara'as, he has lowered himself to the lowest of the depths by using the one thing that makes man superior to animal, which is his language, his ability to speak, his words. And instead of using them for the right reason, he used them to speak Lashon Hara. Now, after he's gone through the entire very, very difficult and grueling process, he's coming back to the realm of a human, and that's symbolized by the waving. The placing of the blood in the three places comes with more details. Usually, blood is collected in a vessel, but by the mitzvah, with the person who had tzaras, the blood is taken in two places, with the hand and in a vessel, meaning there are two kohanim collecting the blood of the animal as it's slaughtered. One is putting it in a vessel, which will be poured on the Mizbeach, and the other is putting the blood on the body of the Mitzvah. The other time in history that a similar thing happened was by Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, it says when Moshe made the bris, he took the blood of the Karbanos and he sprinkled half on the Jews, and the other half he poured on the Mizbeach. It's the same symbolism. Becoming pure from Tzaras is like a mini Matan Torah, either bringing to mind the Maimed Har Sinai, when Moshe split the blood, or experiencing of it, which happens every year on Shavuos, when we bring the carbon and we wave it. What's the connection to Matan Torah? Matan Torah can only happen when we are ba'achdos, ki ish achad, b'lev achad, as it says, v'yichan sham Yisrael, k'neged ha'har, the Klal Yisrael, rested by the nation, Vayichan, it says, and not Vayachanu, it says it in plural, he rested. The person who spoke tzara'as, we know that the main reason, the main sin that we get punished with tzara'as for is speaking of Lashon Hara. This person, he destroyed the achdus. He destroyed achdus either between man and his friend, or man and wife, or families, or classmates, or whoever it was that he spoke about. He destroyed the achdus, and now he's coming back. He gets blood on his ear, his hand, and his foot to represent what we said by Har Sinai, the Na'asa and the Nishma. The Na'asa, the doing, which we do with our hands and feet, and the Nishma, the hearing, which we do with our ears. And this is the placement of the blood on the earlobes, on the hands, and on his foot. It's also striking how much the kapara, the rectification of the mitzvah, is similar to the process of the inaugurating of the kohanim as they get their positions. He needs to be shaved. He needs to wash his clothes. He needs tefillah. He needs his karban waved as the levium themselves were waved, and the blood on the body parts was also in the same place. Also by the mitzvah, there was oil poured on the same body parts and on the rest of his head. And likewise, when Moshe anointed the Kohanim, he anointed them with oil, with Shemen HaMishcha. Of course, there were some differences, but the similarities are striking. And again, it's the same idea. We are lifting this person from one level to another, in the case of the Kohanim, from regular Jews to something much more, much higher and more exalted, and for the Metzora, from the lowest level of a person who had to sit outside all the camps, that he wasn't allowed to have any company, that no one was allowed to be with him, that he wasn't allowed to speak to anyone, and now he's coming back to the level of being a member of Klal Yisrael, and to a member of the human race, a person who understands that if I was given a tongue and I was given the ability to speak, there's something I should be using it for. I should be using it to speak good words and to bring peace with each other and not to divide. What is also striking is the amount of details necessary for this process to take place. And I'm not even going to go into all the other details, the birds and the plants, nor the process of the tahara, of the minimum of 7 days and what has to happen when he comes back. But we do see one thing here with the entire process. The Alter von Kelm gives a mashal. He says, you're sitting in a hospital and you're sitting outside a surgical theater. You see a nurse wheel someone in on a stretcher, and there's one doctor following this nurse. They are all talking and laughing, the doctor, the nurse, and the patient. After an hour, they come out of the room. The patient has already woken up and he's smiling. You imagine that this must have been a simple procedure. Maybe he needed his tonsils taken out or something like that. The next patient that comes in has three doctors and three nurses and an anesthesiologist, and it takes a little bit longer. There's no joking around this time, and we understand that this isn't a simple procedure like tonsils. Maybe it's something a little bit more serious. But the next one that comes in with a whole team of doctors and surgeons and a heart-lung machine and 10 portions of blood and nurses and oxygen machines and masks. You know that this is something really, really serious. I think we all remember this time of year exactly 2 years ago when, to date myself a little bit, the way we used to say it was Nafal HaAsimon. The Asimon was a coin that was used in phone booths. Again, to date myself, we used to have phone booths and you would put the coin in, and when the call was connected, the Asimon would drop. In English we say the penny would drop, and then the connection was made. And I think 2 years ago around this time, the connection was made that this thing that was going on for the last 2-3 months that we had heard about in China and then in Italy, and as it approached our shores, we realized that this was something serious. And really, by following the news the whole time, what we started to realize that if they're building hospitals in China in 10 days, and they're shutting down, and Eretz Yisrael is shutting down, and America is shutting down, we're not talking about a simple flu. We're talking about something, of course, we didn't realize 2 years ago how disrupted our lives would become. But by the amount of talking about it, and the amount of hype, and the amount of precautions that had to be taken, and the amount of laws that were passed because of it, and the amount of flights that were shut down, and how our whole world was changed, we realized that it can't be that we're talking about a simple flu, because the response is so much greater. We don't understand all the different things that go on in the tahara of the mitzvah, but from the complexity of the refuah, we have to understand how very serious the illness is. And it should give us pause to think about, to stop and say, so those words that I say, and of course we don't have tzaraas today, we're not zoicha to have tzaraas today, we're too far gone to have tzaraas today, but by simply reading through the parasha and learning through the details, we should realize that it's very, very complex, and how careful we should be about the words that come out of our mouth, because were we to have tzaraas today, the difficulty and the details of what we would have to go through to fix a simple word of Lashon Hara should just give us pause before we say it. And on a positive note, we also understand from the comparisons that we drew to Shavuos, to Matan Torah, to the inauguration of the Kohanim, that there is a way back, and that every person, even a lowly Metzorah, can go from the lowest level to a very, very exalted place.